right?
But the Rambam, the Rafayim, say you need her Hino, plus Me'achsha, plus Higia Zman Kodem Pesach, meaning there's something wrong with this combination and there's something wrong with that combination. And we mentioned that what's wrong with each of these combinations. What's wrong with this combination, according to the Rambam, is Hogel. The Gemara said in the Bava Beis that, according to Eliezer, that if I have chametz of challah, or it would be the same thing, right, which doesn't belong to anyone, it's a mamna shevet, and I then it's a problem by Rabbi Motze on Pesach, because if I could be shoel on it and turn it back into my property, undo that precious challah, therefore it's by Rabbi Motze. So to here, even though he glum also afraid with the guys, but since I could have paid the money and redeemed it, right now he glum also afraid I didn't pay it with the guys. Since hol of yada l'doso, I could have made it mine. That's good enough to, since I could have made it mine, that's the Lashon and the Gemara, Daf and Vav and Beis, is Ho'ol B'yado L'Shule Alei Kim Mamone Damir, or something like that. Right, the actual Lashon is Ho'ol B'Boy Itchol Alei Mamone Hu. Ho'ol B'Boy Itchol Alei Mamone Hu. So, the, what do the other Rishonim say? The other Rishonim say, most of them say, this is an equivalent to the Hohel and Dachmim Vav. The Hohel and Dachmim Vav was holy by Mitchell Alei, because that was very easy. All you needed to say something in front of three rabbis, and you're set. But over here, you need to pay the full price. Like, that costs you a lot of money. So hol means if I could easily acquire it, that counts like my vaylus. But if I could, like, acquire it, but I'd have to pay the full price, then, like, you know, who's going to do that? That's not so simple. It's not, like, so posh. It's hard to come up with money. Therefore, there's no hol. So many of them say there's no hol if you have to pay. Because that's not, like, almost mine. I have to pay a lot of money. Where am I going to come up with all this money?
Why do you need me Aksha? If you have your Hino and you have Higiyah's money?
Okay. We'll get to that in 1 minute. That's what most of the Rishonim say.
The Rambam would respond to that.
The Rambam would respond that still, it's still a hole. You could pay and get it.
We have, like, an opposite spara. In the case of the loan, you're supposed to back the loan. You're not supposed to be shown on your
house. Aha, so maybe there's even more of a hole.
Yeah.
That's a good ha'ara. Okay, this is what most of Rishonim say. Anyway, we're not going to get into it, but I was discussing with some of the guys after Monday's shiur, and this whole hovel is a very fascinating question. What does it mean, hovel v'boy itchalei mamonehu? That's a big chakira in Mavav and Beis, and it seems to be the chakira of the middle Tosfos on that amud. You know, is it really true? Anytime I could own something, it's mine? Is that true in Kol Torah Kula? That's not exactly clear. You know, and that goes back to the fundamental question of, like, what does Bar Rabbi Yonsei mean? Remember, we discussed that a little in the very, very beginning of the parak. Is it really about me owning chametz, or is it about being nearer matzoi, about, you know, having a certain relationship with this chametz having certain importance to me? So, I mean, that was the flip side. There's I own chametz, but it's hidden. It's not nearer matzoi. It's not accessible to me. Over here, maybe I don't own the chametz, but it is accessible to me, because hol, you know, I can just take it whenever I want. So that's an interesting chakira, which is not our place. I just want to mention it. In terms of this whole concept of hol, you know, does hol mean it's mamish my bailus? It really counts as bailus? Or does hol mean it really counts as bailus? Does hol mean, we don't really mean it's like bailus for Kol Torah Kula, it's just that to get it nearer umatsoi, that is relevant to Bal Yirah Bal Yimatsoi, but it's really its own sugya, which we're not getting into now. If you're interested, I am the whole first parak for all the parallels, and the middle Tosin Daf and Bottom Beis, who seems to be relevant to this. Okay. The other issue, which is what Yaakov just asked, is what's the Rambam's problem with? So fine, it's not enough to just do Hirhino Me'achshav, because since when Pesach was there, you sold the option to pay for it, you had a hold that you could have had it whenever you wanted, and therefore that's enough for Rabbi Yimatzei, even though Yimloi Milsa, that it wasn't yours, but you had a hold. What about, so that's what he has to add, he gives my Kodim Pesach. Once he adds he gives my Kodim Pesach, why does the Gemara need to say Me'achshav? If I give you the mashkon and I said, in 30 days you can keep it, and the 30 days came before Pesach, so, of course it's not mine anymore, it's too late, right? It's totally not mine. So what's the Rambam's problem? So, everyone brings down, the Rambam doesn't say, but everyone brings down for Ben Ephraim, Asmachta. Right, fascinatingly, for the Rambam and Ben Ephraim, for everyone else, what's the role of Me'achshav? The role of Me'achshav is to make the Kenyan happen before Pesach, not after Pesach. Right? Because for everyone else, I'm giving the guy my chametz before Pesach. The time comes after Pesach. I need me'achshav to make the kinyan before Pesach. For the Rambam, either way, the kinyan is before Pesach. It's again not before Pesach. The time is up before Pesach. The role of me'achshav is, the Gemara says in Mamad Tziyah, that it solves the problem of asmachta. The role of me'achshav is not to make the time come before Pesach. The time is already before Pesach. The role of me'achshav is to take away asmachta, totally different angle than according to all the other Rishonim. Totally different angle than according to all the Rishonim, because that's what we assume that's what the Rambam holds, because that's what Rabbeinu Ephraim says, it's the only logical explanation, that you need the Me'achshav to take away the problem of Asmachta. Okay, why do all the other Rishonim assume, they say explicitly, they bring down the Tosefta, sounds like this, that if he gives on Kodom Pesach, you don't need Me'achshav. Why aren't they worried about Asmachta? Right, that's what the Rambam says, right? Me'achshav takes away Asmachta, but the other Rishonim don't require Me'achshav. Why don't the other Rishonim have a problem with Asmachta if you don't say Me'achshav? What? Who says that? Right, there are two fundamentally different approaches. The Raiva says, Ein Asmachta de'akom, and what do all the other Rishonim say? That there's no Asmachta on a Mashkon. Basically, the other Rishonim say there's no asmachta in a mashkon. The classic asmachta sugyas that are parallel to this mamad tziyah with land. I say, if I don't pay you in 30 days, you can have this in this house. But, of course, then I didn't actually give it to you. Right? In a mashkon, we're actually handed it over. So, all the other Rishonim say, ein asmachta de mashkon, which is hanita miyad liyad, right? I actually gave you the mashko. When I actually give you the mashko, there's no asmachta. Some of them say because if I'm actually handing it over to you, that shows I'm serious. Right? That's what the Ritva says. When I'm actually handing it over to you, so then I'm obviously serious. The Rishonim Bamatsiya all add. Also, like, it's normal to give up metaltolin for money. So, like, as opposed to giving up land. So, therefore, I'm probably serious. Another reason. So a little tricky here, Ron here mentions, because since there's Balchu Kona Mashkon, so therefore it's more serious. A little tricky because going not Kona Mashkon. But basically many Rishonim hold, this is a Machlokes Rishonim, but many Rishonim hold that in a Mashkon there's no din of Asmachta, primarily because you're actually handing it over and giving it to the guy, and because it's very normal that people would want to pawn things and give up their metaltolin and get money instead, and Balchu Kona Mashkon. At least the idea is out there in the world. So, in a mashkon, there's no asmachta. This is a whole machlokes bav metziyah. I just want to point out that this is one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life. What's one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life here? Which sheet is one of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life? The Ravid. Right? Now, if the Ravid said the opposite, it wouldn't be so strange. The Ravid had said, you know what, there's no asmachta. A Jew can be koneh from a guy, and we don't pass because of asmachta. I would say, no, we have it sometimes. You know, it's easier to be koneh from a guy. Guys sometimes have less rights in Chosh Mishpah than Jews. I could say here. But what's the Ravid saying here? I give my chametz to a guy, and he's koneh it, even though it should be an asmachta, because there's no asmachta for a guy. Meaning, if I gave Yaakov my chametz and said these exact same words, you wouldn't be koneh, asmachta. You would have to give it back. But if you're a guy, then you can keep it. It's pretty rare in Chosh and Mishpat that, you know, a goy can be kona something when a Jew can't. I didn't say, you know, impossible. But it's very interesting when, why, and of course, classically, what's the problem with Dasmachta? Why is Dasmachta Lokanya? Because we don't have Dasmachta. So if I don't have Dasmachta, right, I don't give me your Das, what's the difference if I'm selling to a Jew or a guy? Right, I gave my Mashkon, and if the guy's a Jew, since I don't have Das, he can't keep it. He has to give it back to me when I pay him money. He has to give me a chance to buy it back. But if he's a guy, then he can keep it, even though I didn't have him here as Das. All very, that's a very mechudah shita, this Ravid. I haven't seen the Achronim, most of the Achronim trying to explain him. But what's the Svar? It's just, you know, we're not going to really get into this now, because you'd have to, you know, reread all of Shas. But what's the Svar for this Ravid? Anyone?
Is it possible it's just in this case the same as Nesmachta Magoyim?
Because?
By the way, I mean, practically, you know, the guy's not, there's no, you can tell him in the Das Machta, he's not giving back to you.
Because?
Because it's his. Forget about it, it's Das Machta.
Ah, you mean, it's not that there's no, it really there isn't a Das Machta, but he's not going to give it back to you anyway.
And that will help, by the way, it's really not yours, the guy has it.
It's because Lemaisa, even though he should give it back to you halachically, since he won't, there's no, since he's already mochzak and he won't give it back, so there's no din of asmachta. That's an interesting idea.
It's not there, it says.
Right. So it could be, what Gutenberg's saying is basically, since the guy doesn't listen to Bezdin, you know, therefore, the guy doesn't listen to halacha, so there is din of asmachta. He doesn't listen to halacha, the mice say he's going to keep it. Right? That's what Yoshua wants to say. That's possible.
Well, maybe it's exactly in this case, because if he pays it back, if he pays the loan back, then he gets Chametz.
Sorry, Rolo Pesa.
Yes. And if he
but that's the Ravid, that's not what the Ravid sounds like. He sounds like it's Yisrael. I noticed that if you want to say something a little more radical, maybe you could say that Goyim, Kinyonim by Goyim are fundamentally different than Kinyonim by Jews. Kinyonim and Jews are based more in Das, and Kinyonim by Goyim are based more in Maisa. Again, that doesn't mean that Jews can make a Kinyon with just talking in the veld without any Maisa. And that doesn't mean that a Goy can make a Kinyon if the guy is totally being coerced or doesn't know what he's talking, or doesn't know what he's doing. But it means that for a Jew, the fundamental force that makes the kinyan is das, and the mice is necessary to cement the das. Could be for goyim. Fundamentally, it's the maisa that creates the kinyan, and the das is secondary. And therefore, whenever you're dealing with kinyan with a goy, you need a lower level of das because kinyanim in dinei ben Noach are based more in Maisa than Das, and here you did a proper Maisa. The Rugged Shover says, has a different part here. He says something more radical. The Rugged Shover says, Ravid didn't mean there's no Asmachta by Goyim. He meant there's no Asmachta in cases like this by Goyim. Because what's the case like this? Lemaisa, you know, either way, he's ending up with $100 worth of stuff. Which is a question, this stuff versus the other stuff. And he wants to claim that by Jews, bialus is defined by specific, like shame bialus on each chifetz, in a formal sense. By goyim, bialus is defined by, you know, how much your net worth is. Well, what something's worth. That's why the word Baba Kama seems to imply mutzer de lo sachmo to goyim, like to take things and give them money. Even though it's us to steal stam. That would be a very radical idea. And therefore he says, in this case, you know, since in the end you're getting $100 worth of stuff for a loan of $100, you know, we're not doing best math, we're giving away free money. Therefore, in, you know, Dinei Bnei Noach, that's valid because you really have no rights on particular objects. You just have a right to have a certain value. That's also a big chiddush, that by this by going is defined by value and not by objects. So either way, you're going to have to say either some big chiddush, the Rav Yisrael wants to say that by goyim, bialus is defined by the net value, not by which object you have. Or maybe you could say, kinyanim by goyim depend more on maisa and less on das. Or maybe Daniel's right. And you say something a little less radical. It means really there's a smachta by goyim. But since he's not going to listen, because we're not talking about a goyim subject to the Bezdin, we're talking about a goyim in a goyish country, since he's not going to listen, then practically you have no kind of a smachta. Because you know, he's not going to listen anyway.
According to this Rebbe Shai, I can walk into a store, put $50 down, take whatever I want, walk out without, like, the guy even, like, being part of the sale or anything, or agreeing to sell me the thing?
Yeah, that's no chiddush. Because in the store, the stuff they want to sell you
whatever,
things.
It just
means
has,
I can go to someone's house.
Has,
that's what he says, yeah. Anyway, yeah, look, he brings many, many rights and ties them to philosophical terminology. Kedarka Bakodesh. Okay, that's about it for what the Mishnah really means. Now, let's move on to the Aflam and Aleph and Aleph. The sugyas of Shibuda Dravi Nasa. Right, here's where the Gemara really gets complicated. So let's look in the Gemara. The Umi Amarava Hachi, like halfway down the skinny line, Vamarachar Ruben Shemachan started with Shimon Bachrayas, who's not going to love Milveh. Umeis Ruvain, the Asa Balchov de Ruvain, the Tarfling of Shimon, the Asa Shimon Paisi, Zuze Dino, the Asa Ne Ruvain, only Shimon, on the top of Shmokov and Gabach, the top of the Asa of Balchov, Lo Mishtabdi. So what's the case if, let's get the name straight here. Right, Ruvain sold the field to Shimon Bachrayas, so now, and Shimon said, I'll owe you the money, I'll pay it in 30 days. Zakhman Olav Milva. So Shimon owes Ruvain money for the price. Ruvain, it turns out, Igloy Milsa owes Shimon money for the Achrayas, because in the end, someone else who Ruvain owed money came and tried to confiscate the field, and Shimon had to pay them. So, they each owe each other money. So, you would think, just cancel it out. And that's what you would do if they were both here. But if Ruvain dies, then Shimon owes Ruvain money, Ruvain owes Shimon money, but Shimon really owes Ruvain the money because you have to pay the guy's kids if he dies. Ruvain doesn't owe Shimon money because Ruvain didn't leave any karka behind in his estate, and Metalto Yasmir not Mishtabdi. So Shimon gets ripped off. This is on a technicality here. Shimon ends up getting ripped off. Now, Tosos deals with two questions here. The first question is Be'achrayas. Why did the case have to be that he sold it Be'achrayas? So this basically says, because if he sold it Shlo Be'achrayas, it's Pashat. He sold it Shlo Be'achrayas, and Shimon was stupid, he took his chances and lost, and Reuven doesn't owe Shimon anything, and Shimon owes Reuven, so of course he has to pay the Yorshim and get nothing back. That's Pashat. And then Tosus goes on a little and says, in Achrayas, he adds sort of one other step of a Chiddush, and says, you might have had a Havamina, right, that if it's, and, and here he's going to explain something else here. You might have had a Havamina, that since Shimon didn't pay the price yet, he's still holding on to the money, you might have thought this would be like Tfisa Michayim, the consequence of Tfisa Michayim. What does that mean? The Talpul of the Yafir, not Mishtabdi, right? If someone owes money and dies, I can't collect the Talpul from their kid. But if I'm Tofei so the Talpul before he dies, then I can. So you might have thought here it counts like Shimon was toe-face the money before Reuven died, so he really should be able to collect, because when you're toe-face first, you're able to collect, and you just toe-face it by not paying for the land. So, so Tosfos says that no, since he was zokfen alav b'milveh, since he said, oh, let's make it a loan, I'll pay you in 30 days, that shows that he wasn't trying to be toe-face, he wasn't trying to grab this money to get the upper hand, he just turned into a loan and decided he'd pay it later. But since he wasn't doing anything specific to grab the money so that he would have the upper hand, he just said, I'll pay you in 30 days. So it's not enough to just be holding the money. You have to actually be toe-faced the money for the purpose of having the upper hand. Since he was okay for Milveh, therefore it's not like he was toe-faced the money. It's that he deferred it to later. And that's why it's not Tfisa Michayim. This is Agav Orcha answering another question, which is, why do you need Zachman Olav B'Milveh? Why can't you just say he didn't pay? Right, why can't you just say he didn't pay for the field yet? Why do you need Zakhan Olav B'Milveh? Those are implicitly answering that. Why do you need Zakhan Olav B'Milveh? Because if he just didn't pay yet, then what do you mean? He's withholding payment. When you withhold payment, that's Tfisa Michayim. Anytime I owe you money and I don't pay, I'm taking the upper hand here. I'm grabbing your money. So, Tosfos says, if he had withheld payment, it would be Tfisa Michayim. If it's Zakhan Olav B'Milveh, then that's not Tfisa Michayim. The Ravid, quoted in all the Rishonim here, disagrees. He says, no, there's a different reason why you need Zakhfan Olav Vimilveh. Right? There are two theories. Why do you need Zakhfan Olav Vimilveh? Tosfos theory is because without Zakhfan Olav Vimilveh, that's called Tfisa Mechayim. Because anytime I'm stam withholding payment without without agreeing about it, that's called Tfisa Mechayim. The Ravid, I don't know if he didn't think this or if he just had a better answer, the Ravid says, no. Anytime it's not Zakhfan Olav Vimilveh, that's called Nafik V'ayil Azuzeh. There's a halacha category called Nafik V'ayil Azuzeh. That means someone who's he's eagerly looking for money. The rule is, if I sell you a sadeh, if I sell you a field, a karka, how many ways are there to be kona? Well, there are actually more, but yeah, three. Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. Right? So you don't have to give Kesef. You can be kona with Shtar and Chazaka. But that's if I'm not eagerly looking for money. If I'm eagerly looking for money, then it's obvious that I don't intend to really be machne until I get my money. So a regular guy can sell it with Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. Someone's eagerly looking for money, it's not a sale until they get their money. That's called Ayil V'Nafik Azuzeh. You're coming in and out looking for money. So the right, it says that what's Zakhman Olav Vimilveh? Zakhman Olav Vimilveh, I said, it's okay to pay me later. Anyone who's not Zakhman Olav Vimilveh is Ayil V'Nafik Azuzeh. And therefore, if it's Ayil V'Nafik Azuzeh, if it's not Zakhman Olav Vimilveh, it's Ayil V'Nafik Azuzeh. And of course this din doesn't apply, because the field was never sold in the first place. And if the field was never sold in the first place, then Shimon doesn't owe any money. So there are two different sheets that have shown him why, if not for Zakhman Olav Vimilveh, Shimon would not owe money. Tosfos says he wouldn't owe money because he would have Tfisa Mechayim. He says whenever you don't agree to pay later, that's called Tfisa Mechayim. The Ravid says no, whenever you don't agree to pay later, it's called Ayil V'Nafik Azuzeh, and you can undo the whole sale, and that's why he doesn't owe any money. Okay, so those are two theories in Zakhman Olav Vimilveh. Yeah.
The way he said it was that if he's not Zakhman Olav Vimilveh, then it's Igloy Milsa that his kavana was not to be Tofes?
No, his kavana was to be Tofes.
I'm sorry, I meant by being, it's about kavana. I thought, couldn't you say that it's just about whether it's still considered, whose money is considered? Meaning if he wasn't Zakhman Olav Vimilveh, so then this is called Ruben's money. If it's Zakhman Olav Vimilveh, so even if he wanted to be Tofes, it's impossible because that's his money now. It's in
a right, although it's still his money, because even if he wasn't Zakhman Olav Vimilveh, he just owes Reuven money. Right?
But
there's no particular money that belongs to Reuven.
Yeah, but he's like holding, he's saying, I have your money by me. If you have a loan and saying, you gave me money to use, and I have to pay you at some point. But if I owe you money because I didn't pay you when I was supposed to, so then it's like I'm holding your money. But you say that's not what's going on.
I think the difference you're saying, but what's the difference? Either way, I owe you money. The difference is in one case, I owe you money and you let me. In the other case, I owe you money and you don't let me. So that sounds like, but it sounds like the main difference is kavana. And one, I'm trying to, take money from you that I don't deserve. And the other, I'm not. Maybe you could say the difference is, my toe-face, bershus or shalom bershus. Not a matter of kavana, just tfisa bershus doesn't count as tfisa.
So
it could be that Tfisa Bershus. Either way, the Gemara says that, basically the Gemara says, if I have permission to hold on to your money, that's not Tfisa. Mechayim, the Gemara says in Ksubas. So it could be that's just not a matter of Kavanah, it's just a matter of objective Bershus, low Bershus. I'm over to that. Okay, Upaisi Bezuzeh, Rebusa Nakat, Afish Nasamos, Lomasin Lehmar, Moshe, Skaj Bavicham, Nasati, Lo. What's the Chiddush of? Why does the case have to be that Shimon gave money to the other Baal Chov? Maybe, why can't it be that he actually gave the field to the other Baal Chov? So, Tosfos says, make more of a chiddush, because you might have thought he gave money to the other Baal Chov. That's really the money that he owed Reuven. Kamashma, no. That, if he owes Reuven money, then he has no right to give that to the other Baal Chov. He still owes it to Reuven. Okay, and the last Tosfos is, of course, the most famous one. And that goes on to the next part of the Gemara. For Amar Rav, if you kech Shimon magul the Arab hadu gavri lemi nayhu, right? That if Shimon wants my advice, right? Instead of giving money to Reuven's kids and then not being able to get it back, he should give land to Reuven's kids, and then it's Reuven's land, and Reuven's land, he's allowed to collect from Yisomim. And this is the rule of Rav Nachman. Rav was just applying the rule of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Yisomim should go b'karka chos aviyam b'chov chos avgoos on mehen, right? That if a guy dies and leaves no karka, and his kids collect cash for the debts, no one can take it from them. But if they collect money for the debt, land for the debt, that's considered their father's land, and it has a shivut. So what's the basic point? Rava admits that if kids collect land for their father's debts, that's considered the father's land and not the kid's land. Not just the kid's land. Right? It's not like the kids now got land. No, but it's the father's land that they got. What makes it the father's land? Right, the kasha is if not for you go, that makes sense. What's the principle of Rav Nachman? The case doesn't really matter anymore. It's the principle of Rav Nachman. If you sow them collect karka, that's meshuvah to their father's debts. If you say lemafreya, that makes sense, because lemafreya, this is their father's karka. So it's meshuvah to their father's debts. But if you say mekan lahava, only now they're getting the land and their father's dead. So their father never had anything to do with this land. So how can it be meshuvah to their father's debts? So the only way for Rav to get out of this is say, really, mekan lahava, go there. But Shani Hassam de Amarlu Kihech Mishabad Leilavucha Mishabad Lamagabach Lavucha Mid Rabbi Nassan. He said, no, really it's Mikanel Abo Gove. If it's Mikanel Abo Gove, then this was the Yisomim's land, it's not their father's land. So why did they have to pay their father's debts? And the answer is because while their father was still alive, there was Shibud de Rabbi Nassan. What's the case? Someone owed their father money and paid his land, and their father owed someone else money. Shibudu Rav Nasa means that even when their father was alive, right here, here's the father. Right? A owes B, B owes C, B is the father who died. So it's not that Lema Freya, this is the father's land, and that's why C can collect it. Lema Freya, it wasn't the father's land. However, while the father was alive, C already had a Shibud on this land. Because if she didn't, if she booted Rav Nassan, and that's why he doesn't get it because it's the father's land, Lemafreya. No, it's not the father's land, Lemafreya. He gets it because he always had a Shibud on this land. Because that's the dinner, she booted Rav Nassan, that I have a Shibud on you. And you have a Shibud on him, I have a Shibud on him. The Tanya Rav Nassan, overnight, the Nosh Bechavir Manu, Bechavir Chavisha, Matsim, Zeb, Nosh, Zeth, Amlam, Nassan, Lasser, Asham, Lo. End of this part of the Gemara. This is the famous din of Shibudu Rav Nassan. The big, big deal in all the Rishonim and Achronim is. Very famous chakira, famous, very tricky chakira is what's the nature of this din of Shibuda de Rav Nassan. Now, if you would take the minimal understanding of Shibuda de Rav Nassan, just the words he says, forget about any application. The words he says is, how do we know if A owes B and B owes C, that we take money from A, that they're going to take money from A and give it to C, Kamalom Rinasan Lasher Asham Lo. It doesn't say to the person he borrowed from, it says to the person he ends up owing, which implies you can end up owing someone who you didn't borrow from, which implies Shibudate Rabbi Nassan. Now, the minimum way of understanding this, what might you say?
Like, C can go to A and A can't say La Valkar Via.
Right, and why can C go to A? Because, what?
He really owes him money.
Maybe he doesn't really owe money.
There's a chain of people owing money all the way back to A.
There's a chain of people owing money, and you know what? What's the Lashon of the Rashba? Okay. The Rashba is a famous Lashon here. Afuchim atarta lamali. That's what it means. What's the point of switching this for no reason? What's the point of extra steps? Just simplify matters. Meaning, the most minimalistic way to understand Shibud Rav Nassan is that it's just a din in Gavia. Right? Really, A does not owe C. It's just that what's going to happen? Bezin has two court cases now. C is going to sue B and get the money. Sorry, B is going to sue A and get the money. Then C is going to sue B and take it. So why do two court cases when you could only do one? That's the rule of Fuchim Atarta Lamali, right? If we go to court and I'm suing you for $100, you're suing me to wear $100 the same evidence, the Bezin is going to say, don't waste our time. Right? So likewise here, it's just a din in the Gavia that you might have thought, no, you might have thought, La Balvar Gaviyat. No one could ever have a right to go to court with someone who they don't have a direct relationship with. The answer is, Afukha Matar Talamali, that since in the end, this is what's going to happen anyway, so therefore we might as well simplify the process. That is what the Rashba says, in Hidushin Daf Tesvav, He says, "Davka mechayim the baal chov hushmotzim baal chov v'nosim lasher arshon lo time the milsim davle ke ena puchim atarta." Sorry, she gav a shemun chov milevi bein gav mos migam karka baal chov shlo gomi yenu in kemiad motzim milevi nosim lo brumid afuchim atarta lomali. Right? Why make extra steps? And this is what's going to happen anyway. It says not a mamish afuchim atarta. There's still a chiddush because you might have thought the guy say la bal ring piyat. What do you mean skip steps? I don't have to deal. I have no obligation to deal with you. So kamashon what's from nasas chiddush. You the having was la bal ring piyat. Kamash malan that hafuchim atarta lomali and as long as you're doing migvia, skip the in between step. That is what the Rashba says. In Kiddushin. We'll see, getting into a little trouble about this. But, right, the Rashba. And if you know, in the sort of note that's in the back of the Sechus Rashba Kiddushin, in the old editions and in all the modern day editions that's put on the page there, he explains this isn't that C Mamas had a Shibud on anything that relates to A. That's a different idea, which is not true. It's just that it's a din of Rabinasan that you can simply streamline the collection process. So, the Rashba in Kiddushin says it is Ke'ein Hafuchei Matarta, meaning it is a din in the process of Gevi'ah. You might have thought in the process of Gevi'ah, everyone can only deal with their balcho with their balbar day. Kamashwan that we streamline it and say a fucking matarta lovely. Okay. What if you wanted to be a little more ambitious than this? What would you say Rabbi Nelson means? No, it's not just the process of Gavia, we streamline the process. Even before we get to the process of Gavia, what might you say?
Also makes it sound like you have a real Shibud on that.
That who has a real Shibud on what?
That the Baal Chov and the father really is a Shibud on the land that the guy who bore land from the father.
Okay, why?
Because Lashon Tosfos, it's Biado. Since Reuben can go and since the father can go and collect it from the guy's house, it's a Baal Chov.
Meaning, since B, right, B doesn't even have to be the father necessarily, right, in the theoretical history of another lesson, B has something very significant, which is, what does B have? What? A Shibud on A. Right? B has a Shibud on A. So C has a Shibud on B's Shibud on A. Right? So, this is basically what Rabbeinu David says here. And what, perhaps Tosas, that's the Marsha says Tosas sounds like. In the end, that this is clearly what Rabbeinu David says. And we'll see this now, the Marasha reads Tosos that it's not just a din in the Gevi'ah, right? It's a din in the Shibud that C has Shibud on B's Shibud on A. Basically, A is Meshuvah to C through this chain. Right, I'm emphasizing this chain to contrast it with the Shita of. Okay, we'll get there. Right, and what's the Havamina? What do the Rashmaran say to Havamina? What do you mean by Rabbi Nelson? Isn't it obvious that I can collect from everything you have, including your Shibudim and other people? So the Rashmaran and the Ran all explain. The Havamina is, right here, what's the Havamina? Havamina is, as long as we're in the process of Gavia, in the process of Gavia, which has to do with the process of who talks to who and invests in, Havamina is Lav Baal Devarim Didiya. Havamina that in the process of Gavia, you can't go to court with someone who you had no dealings with. Mashallah, you can just streamline the process. Here, what's the Havamina? The Rashba, the Ran, and many Rishonim. Say with the Havamina. What's the? I still think Tosco this summer. What's the Havamina? The Havamina is that even though, let's say, who's going to owe who money, right? I want to be at the good end of this food chain, right? So Noach owes Yaakov money, and Yaakov owes me, right? Noach owes Yaakov $1 million, and Yaakov owes me $1 million. And Kvar, I might as well go for the gold. So, I might just pasta. But, right, so, what am I saying? Of course I can collect from Noah. Because I can collect from any of Yaakov's. I have the right to collect from any of Yaakov's property. I have a shibud on all of Yaakov's property. And part of his property is that Noah owes him money. So I, just like via the house, I can collect the house. Just like via the car, I can collect the car. If he has a shibud on Noah, I can collect the shibud on Noah. Right? And therefore, I have a shibud on this shibud on Noah. And just like if he sold the chov, let's say he sold the Aryu from Noah to someone. So of course Noah can't say Balzvarm DD. So you know, now I have this, I have the right to this. Right? It's Poshut. Like, I actually have the right to it now. I bought it. So I do buy it, but I got a shibud on it, which is, you know, more or less the same thing when it comes time and he doesn't pay his debt. So what's the Havamina? So a lot of Rishonim say the Havamina is such as the Ravina Dove here is not quite as clear, but the the Rani Subos says this. He says that Havmina is that there's no shibud on a davar she'ein gufo mamon, such as a shtar. Having is, yes, I have the right to all of your things. I have the right to all your concrete objects. That's a valid havmina. Yes, when I lend you money, I have a shibud, I have the right to collect from all your concrete objects. But I don't have any rights over abstract entities, like shtaros, the classic example, when shtaros are basically chovos. Shtaros doesn't mean that piece of paper, it means what they represent. So havmina that I don't have a shibud on this. How do you say, no, I only shibud on concrete objects that you own. Tamash will know that my rights over you extend to your shibudim just as much as they extend to all of your other property.
This isn't necessarily the chiddush Rabbi Nassim across the board. This is a chiddush Rabbi Nassim in our case. Rabbi Nassim is not talking about this regular case of just borrowing money and collecting money. We're not talking about the same shibud there.
So they say, yes, even in that case, you might not have me. When I come, I have the right to confiscate all of your property, but only concrete property. That I have the right to be govet. Having, I have the right to be govet from abstract property. I only have the right to be govet from concrete property. And that's what the number of Rishonim say. Havmina is, I can only govet from darshan gufo mamon. So Havmina is that there's no shibud, right, on, or gviya, of a darshan and gufo mamon. Kamash v'lan rabbi nasa, that your darshan and gufo mamon are just as subject to my lien as your dvarim shegufan mamon. And therefore, basically what it's saying is that I end up with the shibud on Noach through Yaakov. What is the ktsos mecharish, though? What is the ktsos mecharish? And then what's the basic point of the ktsos? What's the basic point of the ktsos? And he definitely reads this into Tosus. Right?
It's as though C had been like that.
Exactly. The Ketzos is a much bigger fish. Meaning, the Havmina is obvious. For the Ketzos, the Havmina is that Yaakov was me and Noach was him, so at most I could be going from Noach through Yaakov. Kamashon, the Ketzos says, and his Lashon is, I'm very clear, he starts out with, right? Reuven Shinoz at 7 in the middle of the second line of the Ketzos, V'tzark L'das, Kro Lama. Don't we know all of Yaakov's things are meshuvah to me, including his debt on Noah? Right? In case she gives my own value to her from all of that. The far heritage of our Rashi, we can do so. We can do the hell of me, Zeph. The stars lob me, divine it. The mealing in the meal of the stab, the right stars are not concrete objects. So therefore, the havis you can't collect them. Kakas were around the subos. The etame of Lord Nelson Amishi, if you know all the and Lomeli Gulachov, the exchange of Magnus Sharnachos, which is all the stars, Lab Negev, Vine, and Shane Gufam, and Koshe, and Gufam, and Bez Magdamo, and Help Shemin, and Letter, or Rasmel, she decided to serve stars, Lab Negev, Vine. He said, no, some people are Havmin, you can't collect stars. That's a Russia, a Torah, Shokhan Arif, the summer stars, the Shabdi Agav. Of course, you can have a Shibud on Staros. Amma, the Neshiva Nenu, he says, no, it's Pasha that I have a Shiva on Staros. It's Pasha that I have a Shiva on your Staros. That's so obvious, you don't need Rabbi Nassan. So what's Rabbi Nassan's Chiddush? And here it might end up that Rabbi Nassan's Chiddush is not for just the classic case he mentions of that, you know, Minayin that he Metsim is Eminos and Lazat. So over Shach, Kasim, the Hida Bezim, Amish Staros, the other Mechir Staros have. Balden Gufe the MK Lavram Nasan get the Mofshach of Nemalom Ramano Peru with Migu the Makal who had been divided the best. And Abel Hashim Ram Nasan Abel Imal Rishon Balden Dershini. These were Hishes enough. The Insark Love was Shach a Lovish Lo. He'll have Kol Kmi Lo Mar Amana. So he what does the Shach say? He says no. The Hashim Ram Nasan is of course I of a Shibat on Noach through Yaakov. But Yaakov can still say, it's only going through him. He can say, oh, this thing? Nah, this was really a fake shtar. Migu that he could have been mochelet, meaning it has to go through him, and he has the power to cancel the shtar. Kamashla and Rabbi Nassel, was Rabbi Nassel really Kiddush? That I, Yeshiva, straight on Noah, and Yaakov can't do anything about it. And if you skip to the paragraph, like the third paragraph on the second side of the page, Omir do Iker Tzleinu, right? What's sort of the Iker for the Ktos? The Elo Havi Ketor Shiva, Lo Havi Elikim Oshar Nechazim Shabbatim. What does he say? Yeah, even without Rav Nassan, I know that I have a Shibat on Yaakov, Shibat on Noah. Then it would be the same as my Shibat on all his property. The Matzil of Usluki Bezuse, that Yaakov could say, no, get your hands off this. I'll give you money instead. Mikal Avo Governor, I'd only go Mikal Avo. Avo Vator Shibudit Rav Nassan, I read Ilo Amal Vashalalova, who held the law? What's the Kiddush of Shibat Rav Nassan? It's pretty clear here. It's not just that I have a Shibat through Yaakov. It's that, it's as if I lent Noah money. The Amal Barishon Yochel Linkor Shalom Mamashu, and that the Chiddush of Nassan is that it's as if I lent not the money. It's as if I have a direct relationship with him. That's Taka Big Chiddush. And therefore, I can actually sell this Chov of Noach. And Yaakov can't say to me, no, I'll give you different Nechasim instead. Say, who are you? You're history. You're not part of this anymore. You used to be part of this, but you got eliminated and you got downsized. And now I have a direct relation with Yaakov. You have no shaychus to this. That's Taka, very big Kiddush. Right? The Avagav Zavin Malva Lomahani Glumi Perkel Shah is a kind of a Vogova. Even though normally I can't sell any of Yaakov's property before I collect it, it's only kind of a Vogova. That's with regular Shiva. If it was just I, the regular Shiva, on his Shiva, on Noach, then me kind of a Vogova. Yeah, when I come, I can be Gova. But Abel Shabudim Nasa Torah and Nasa Moshe Roshalom Vah Malva Amiti over here. It's not just I can collect it. I have a Shiva that I can collect it. No, the Torah said that I am the Malva of Noach, and I'm the real Malva of Noach, not Yaakov. The Torah eliminated Yaakov and made a big chiddush that I have a direct relationship with Noach. Vafila wrote to Elul Shlugim and Yaakov Zura Malva Amiti, and Yaakov can't even pay me off anymore. I can say no. I have a relationship with Noach. I want to forget about you. I have a direct relationship with Noach, and Yaakov has nothing to. Do with it anymore. That is, and then he points out, now there's a lot of nafgaminas to Shiva de Rav Nassan, right? Now he says, you don't have to worry about what's the Kiddush of Shiva de Rav Nassan. The Kiddush of Shiva de Rav Nassan, he says, is not, and he's, I think the first person is saying, the Kiddush of Shiva de Rav Nassan is not for the actual words of Rabbi Nassan. Minayin, that we take from this guy, give to that guy. Even without Rabbi Nassan, it's obvious that if I sue Yaakov, I could collect from any of his property, including his Shibat on Noach. So it's obvious that I could sue Yaakov, and if Yaakov, you know, doesn't come up with any cash, I could confiscate any of his property, and if the most convenient, the property that's able to be confiscated is his debt on Noach, I could go take Noach's money. That's Pashut. You don't need Shibat of Nassan. And therefore, the Lashon Shibat of Nassan is a little Lavdaka. Right, he says, Minayin, how do you know that you take from Noach and give to me? No, we know that without Rabbi Nassan. What he means is, how do you know that you're not going through an intermediary when you take from Noach and give to me? How do you know that you directly, the Torah Al-Pigzeres HaKasav, directly creates a relationship between Noach and me? That's Taka Pigzish. That's the Nassan Lasher Osham Lo. That's the Chiddush Rabbi Nassan Lefi HaTzos. There are other Rishonim that definitely sound this way in some places. You know, the Ritvan Kedushin, who quotes the Ravid, he's a Lashon like this, although not quite as strong as the Ktos. So let's leave the Ktos for now. What does the Ktos say? The Ktos says that it's a tremendous Kiddush, right? It's a tremendous Kiddush. It's a din in the Eshem HaChov that C is the new Malve of A, and B disappears. There's no middleman. The Havamina is that C collects through B, which is the other version of Kamashkala. Right? It says, yeah, the other people, some other people think that that Rabbi Nassan means? That's the Havamina without Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan's Chiddush is that I am the direct Malve of Noach. There is a line in the Shulchan Aruch that sounds this way. In Simon Pei Vav, does say, has at least one line, where it says, Paka Shiva Sheshul Shimon Levi v'nishtaved le Ruvain. Paka. Yaakov's relationship with Noach disappears, and instead, I have a relationship with him. Right? That definitely sounds like the, like the Ksos. Not the land of A, but the Sheba, the Chov of A. Right, C can go over. Basically, according to Ksos, I can go over to you and say, I'd like to sell you an IOU of Noah's. Now, no one else would agree with that. Right? They would say, what do you mean? I can't pick one of Grun's property and sell it. I mean, Sheba don't own his property, but I can't pick which property I want to sell until I go to court and we use certain rules to determine which property I get. Right, Zuzi and Karka and Metalplin and, you know, Benichori and Shubazin, and we'll use the proper rules. Right? I can't go over you and say, I'm selling you the house, Grun's house, or Grun's basketball court, or Grun's car. So why can I come over to you and say, I'm selling Grun's Shtara Noah? So everyone else would say you can. So says, because Grun's disappearing. It's my Shtara Noah. And so it's not that I'm selling one of the things that Grun owns. No! I'm selling something that I own, because I directly own this debt on Noah. And that is the big Chiddush of the Ksos, that really the Torah cut out the middleman, and there's now a new direct relationship between me and Noah.
Is it so saying this happens automatically in any case that A, you know, owes B and B owes C, or only when B has nothing else to pay back C?
He doesn't say very explicitly in this piece. I don't think he explicates in this piece. But where the Shulchan Aruch deals with this, where the Shulchan Aruch deals with this, the Ktos says, it's a long piece, but at least he starts out bringing down the Shita. He says that, no, even if Grun has a lot of other property, too bad, there's a special Xeris and Kasim here, but Nelson Lasher Asham Lo. Then it's Taka, big Kiddush of the Torah, according to Ktos. Okay, there's Kiddushim in the Torah. Not everything. If everything in the Torah is possible, we wouldn't need it.
We admitted the words of Rinasim Torah.
What?
We admitted that the words don't really describe a special case of Rinasim.
It could be, no, that you could read into the words. So what does Rinasim say? How do we know that Motsi and Vazev and Nosal is there directly and you don't have to go through the intermediary? Pamash Malan, the Nasan Lasher, Asham Lo. I think that's how you'd read it. Because you're right, you have to read in the words of Rinasim. But he means that. But everyone else says, how do we know I ever get Noach's money? The way he means Rinas, no. It's possible I get Noah's money, but how do we know that I get the money directly and I don't have to go through you? How do we know that I can take Noach to Bezdin and we don't have to hold you into court? Kamashwan, the Nasan, Lasher Asham Lo.
The Havamina was the Mosi and Mizel says, Nirubi and Lashemon, Kamashwan, and Levi and Lashemon.
Kamashwan, that it's from
A to C instead of
Kamashwan. The Havamina was that that C can sue B and through that bring A to court and take his money. I can just go to Noach and I don't have to talk to you first. That's the Kamash one. Yeah, you have to like read into the words of Rabbi Nassim, but that's the so said. The Kamash one is not that I end up with Noach's money. I flush it, I would have ended up with Noach's money. It goes without saying I would have ended up with Noach's money. The Kamash one is that I can go straight to Noach, Motsim is Evanosim Lazeh, that there's one, that I can go straight and I don't have to talk to you first. Right? I don't have to first sue you and then sue Noach. I can just sue you. That's how he would read the words of Rabbi Nassim. Now, as you can imagine, there should be many, many nafkaminas, right? Let us, for now, not even mention our sugya, between these shitas. What is one, perhaps, obvious nafkamina that's discussed by the Ritva here? Or you could just tell me something discussed by the Excel spot.
Do you want to start with our
sugya? No, let's not start with our sugya. What about mechila? Can the middle guy be mochel? Right? So, one nafkamina is... There we are. Can be mochel? Well, according to the Tzolz, what would you Pashut say? What? Of course not. And that is the Shita of the Raivid quote in the Ritva here and all the Rishonim all over Shas. According to the Rashba, what would the answer be if it's streamlining the Gviya? Can be mochel? Of course he can. Like, when it comes to Gviya, we just combine the two court cases to streamline it. But if he's Mochel, then there's nothing to combine. Then it's Pasha that then he can be Mochel, which is the Shita of the Ra'ah is brought down in the Ritva. What about according to Rabbi David and the Maharsha, and really a lot of Rishonim sound this way, what would you think? Would you think he can be Mochel? You would think yes, right? Because after all, what... I have a Shiva to all his property, but he can give away property, right? He can give away a Talpalin. Like, just to have a Shiva on his property doesn't mean he can burn it, right? I have a Shiva on his property, but he can destroy it if he wants. And he can be mochel it if he wants. And he can give it away if he wants, right? Meanwhile, he can do whatever he wants with his property. That's certainly what you would think. Another nafkamina is what the... I guess what the Ketos mentions here, mentioned here, right? Can Shimon give me Sluki Bezuzi, right? Can Shimon pay me with other property? Right, normally, let's think about it. If I go to sue you, let's say I am, I don't know, right, I'm Ach of your Novos, so I really want your Kerem, so I lend you money, then I go to court and I say, okay, I'm taking the Kerem. What happens? They say, well, if there's nothing else you can take the care of, of course give the guy a chance to pay, right? So does B have a chance to pay, like, with his own money first? Or no choice, I can go to Noah. So the Ketos what do the Ketos explicitly say? Right? Can B pay me cash? So the Ketos explicitly said that no. Right? The Ketos also obviously agreed with the Raivid that he quotes on the Shulchan Aruch that he gave me also. He says no. B cannot be Masalik B'Damin. B is out of the equation. What if you would take the other Peshatim? What would you say? What if you say this is part of Yaakov's property that I have a Shibon on? Is his the debt of Noah. So can I specifically take that property or can he be Masalik B'Damin? Why can he be Masalik B'Damin? I can't specifically pick one property that I want. Right? So of course he can. It's like a Dover Pasha that he can. This is actually quite radical of the Ketos. And this goes together with some other this goes together with some other nafkaminas because many Rishonim even go so far as to say, such as the Rashba here, it's on the sheet. What did the Rashba say? Not only can Yaakov be Masalik B'Damim, but I can only collect from Noach if Yaakov has no other property. Meaning it's not only is it not first resort, it's last resort to take from Noah. Of course, normally I take from Yaakov. Normally you take the things the guy has. You don't go taking other people's things, right? That's the rule. It's not exactly parallel of you never go and take other people's property if the guy has his own property to give you. It's only if the guy doesn't have his own property, then you have to, you know, follow through all your rights. But of course, the rule of Bezdin, Pasha, that if I lend Yaakov money, I take money from Yaakov. Only if he doesn't have, I then take money from other people, such as Arabs, or Lopeach, or, in this case, Shibuda de Rabbi Nassan. So not only that, but, says the Rashba here, says, and that makes a lot of sense, if we're totally streamlining the Gevia, then what do you mean? Well, you're going to collect from him and I'll collect from you. Who says? Maybe I'll collect from you, and that's it. Like, you know, why do we need to bring Noah into here? If you have no other money, then we need to bring Noah into here, so I might as well collect from Noah. But if you have other money, and that's the Rashba says, Mefurish, and it's actually brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. The Tos is unhappy, quotes that the Marshal disagreed. But, you know, this sort of goes together, right? Can I collect from A if B has nechasim? So the Ktos, obviously I can. And that's why the Ktos quotes from the Marshal in Sifkat and Beis on Simen Pei Vav. This is all Simen Pei Vav, by the way. Right? The Ktos, the Shame Maharshal. But if you would say, no, it's not that he directly owes me the money, I'm collecting through you. Then it makes a lot of sense. When do I go through you? If I can't just take money from you, then I have to go another step. But we wouldn't go another step if we could go one step. Like, why make things more complicated when you can just collect from the guy himself? It's not so mukrach, because you might say, we'll go the other step because Lamai said we're going to have to do it anyway. But this is what the Rashba says, right? And this is the psak of the Rashba, and the Machaber. Right? The Rashba and the Machaber say, no! Once, it's not that he owes me the money, it's that you owe me the money, but I can go through you and get to him, so I only go through you if you don't have money. Otherwise, just take the money from you. Another, I guess the sort of same idea as this, and this is the Lashon that some of the Gishon uses, do I actually have to bring Yaakov into court? Right? So that, basically, like, you know, or, you know, does B have to be sued, right? So I have to actually bring Yaakov into bed. And so it's also saying, no, I don't have to bring Yaakov into bed, and Yaakov's out of the equation, right? Well, the other Yishon would say, no, perhaps I do have to bring Yaakov, let's give it its own line. Not so much, but does C have to sue B first? So the Ktosos clearly say no. That's very pashut. The other Rishonim might say yes. They might say no. They might say, since you know it's going to happen, you don't. But they might say no. You actually have to bring him into Bez Din, and that is Mefurish Okay, I'm not finding it now, but definitely we showed him to say it. The Ran in Ksuvas also says, like the Rashba, okay, perhaps I actually should have to bring him into Bez Din, which the Sheet of Summer shown him, because I'm going through him, then maybe I have no right to, like, go through him unless I actually bring him in.
Wouldn't that, like, be the purpose of the Rashba saying, try to bring us in? Is the whole point of the Rashba, like, waste time? do extra steps for nothing, so why should we do this?
Okay, maybe so that he'll have the opportunity to... I hear that, as I said, perhaps. But you might say, still, I have to bring him into bed. Then if he doesn't have money, then we'll see that we have to streamline. But we don't know that until I sue him. That's why I said it's not totally Nivra. Another very, very fascinating nafkamina could be... what about... what if A does something very annoying to me? What could Noach do that's very annoying to me?
It's a shtar mana?
No, that's what you could do, right? If Noach says it's a shtar mana, no one cares. Yeah, the Lova always says it's a shtar mana, right? Yeah, everyone in jail says they're innocent. That's fine. That doesn't annoy anyone. That's just the way things work. Of course the Lova says the shtar mana and Perua and Mezuyah. That's fine. What if Noach pays Yaakov? Is that the Seder? So now, practically, if Noach pays Yaakov, and Yaakov's around, so whatever, we're not going to be stupid, we'll just say, oh, well, now Yaakov pay me, and everyone will be happy, right? Right, so obviously, you know, if Noach pays Yaakov by accident, we're not going to, like, penalize him, we'll just tell, okay, pass the money on to me, and everyone's happy. But what if Noach pays Yaakov, and, you know, not the Yaakov Grun that we know, who's an upstanding, fine Ben Torah and Bal Musar. But Yaakov's a shady kind of fellow, and Noach pays Yaakov, and Yaakov disappears. We heard a rumor he's in Las Vegas, and we heard another rumor that he's in France, and no one really knows, and then people start saying he really worked for the Mossad. So no one knows what to believe. All we know is that we can't find Yaakov. Meanwhile, he's living under an assumed name someplace else, laughing all the way to the Swiss bank after having racked up a couple million dollars in debt that he's never going to pay. Right? So, we all know people like that. So, what? Yeah. Yeah, we all know people like that. The key to life is to avoid marrying them. Or having your first degree relations do so. But what about in that case? So Noach paid Yaakov, and now I can't get the money. Or it could be another case. Maybe he just paid Yaakov, and Yaakov, you know, spent the money to buy food for his family, and doesn't have any money left. And he's a nice guy, and I can't collect. Whatever the case may be, right? So what do we do? What do we do if Noach paid Yaakov?
Do we believe that he paid Yaakov?
Yeah, we know he paid Yaakov. From 2-8, what do we do if Noah paid Yaakov? So, the Ketzos would say, he does, instead of cutting Yud, what if A paid B, and you can't get the money back anymore, right? Because obviously, you know, we have to be nice people and make a good faith effort to get the money out of B and make everyone happy. A paid B, and... C can't collect from B. You'll excuse my A's, B's, and C's. You can write Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. It's just Reuben, Shimon, and Levi ends up becoming confusing because in our sugya, the Reuben and Shimon are always different from who you think they are. So that's why I didn't want to use it. But the Ketzos is pretty explicit that he says that he's chayav to pay C. He's chayav to pay twice. If Noah paid Yaakov and Yaakov made off the money, then he has to pay me again anyway. Why? Because who told him to pay Yaakov? What kind of idiot was he paying Yaakov? What? He didn't know Chumash? So that's his problem, right? He was ignorant of basic din malchus Ketzos. He thought he owed Yaakov money. That's tough luck. If you think you owe someone money, that doesn't make a difference. You have to pay the guy who you really owe, right? If I owe you money, and I think it's okay to give it to your brother, then tough luck on me for being stupid. I still have to give you the money, because I have to give money to my Malveh. So, he says, no, strictly Medina, it's Pashut, that Noah has to pay again. But, according to the other theories, you would certainly think that he is Potter.
Where was that?
It's Sifkat and Yud. This is Chayim to pay C, the Ketzos, and pay Vav Sifkat and Yud, and he says the Ikaron. Right? He says, no, it's like obviously he's fundamentally Chayim to pay C. What do you mean by the Ikaron? Because even according to the middle shita, you could end up saying he's chayim. This is what a Shulchan Aruch seems to say, because of a side problem. What if you wanted to say that really he shouldn't have to pay me, but midrabanan he has to pay me? What drabanan category could you use? No. Well, let's say, let's take the other case, right? I owe someone money. And all I owe someone $1 million, I happen to have a house worth, actually that's not going to work quite so well, but that's it. Someone, right, their father owed me $1 million, their father dies, leaves them one piece of paper worth $1 million, and what do? They burn the whole thing down. Now it's not worth anything. Now I can't collect. Anyone know what happens? What? That is garmi. It's called mazik shibud shel chavero. Anytime I ruin someone's shibud, that's not a direct hezek, because they don't own the shibud. It's just a shibud. They don't own it, right? But if you ruin someone's shibud, that is an indirect hezek of the type that is more chomer. Whatever exactly makes garmi more chomer than rama, if anything, is not our masechet this year. But let's say, for the sake of simplicity, it is a very direct, immediate, purposeful, indirect hezek, as opposed to a more sort of vague, accidental, you know, eventual indirect hezek. That's called garmi, right? I think I got almost all the sheets there. And that's in mazik shibud shel chaveros chayev midin garmi. We assume most Rishonim assume garmi is drabanan. So din drabanan, lemaisa, you were mazik someone, and indirectly, and therefore you have to pay. So says the Shulchan Aruch. He says, you know what? Maybe Noach doesn't really have, he paid off his debt. Right? He shouldn't really need the Araisa have to pay me. But Lemaisa, he ruined my Shibud. Right? Right? I indirectly had a Shibud on him. And he didn't steal anything. He didn't do anything technically wrong to Araisa, but he ruined my Shibud. And when you ruin someone's Shibud, that is an indirect damage that's within Garmi, Mazik Shibudo Shel Chaveiro. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, or you could say, Chayav, because of Garmi. Not that he really owes me the money, but when he was Mazik, that's the phrase, Mazik, Shibudu Shel Chaveiro, could be Chayav, Midrabanan. And,
you wouldn't say that for the Rashi.
No, for the Rashi, I wouldn't say that, because he's not even Mazik my Shibud. The Rashi doesn't even think I have a Shibud. But at least for the middle sheet, it could be that you're Chayav, Midrabanan, because of Mazik, Shibudu Shel Chaveiro. It's not so posh that you would call this Mazik, Shibudu Shel Chaveiro, but there's the Shulchan Aruch. Called the Mazik Shibud Shel Chaveiro, and the Ketzos, the Rashi would never agree to this. Should the Rashi that? Could be you get into Rabban Mazik Shibud Shel Chaveiro, and the Ketzos says, yeah, Mazik Shibud Shel Chaveiro, that's according to some people's idea of Shibud of Nasa. What does the Ketzos say? I'll just read you a line of the Ketzos on that line. It's interesting. The Stipler says here, since the Rashi says Mazik Shibud Shel Chaveiro, we see the Ketzos is wrong. So he doesn't say he's just chayv to me. He has to come on to Mazik Shibud Shel Chaveiro. The Ketzos says, Shibud Shel Rashi, he says, Mazik Shibud Shel Chaveiro, that's even if you would say, Shibud Shel Rav Nasan, you could be Mochel, and like, it's not really direct, etc. That reason is even for like, you know, if you don't know the right reason. The Ein Zeh, he says, "Ve'ein zeh tam l'shvach." And he says, according to us, hold that the middleman can't be mochel. The less mechila vade tzarchu lefroa shena. So he says right at the beginning. If you assume like us, the middleman can't be mocho, then it's vada he has to pay again. Like, you don't need to come on to this reason. That's what he says. He thinks you don't need to go on to this reason. It's pasha. Shel Rosh came on to this reason. So, we have, even before we get to our sugya, we have a sort of classic hakira, three different ways of understanding, like, how much we really link me to Noah. It's like the Rashba says, I don't even really have a shibud on Noah. It's just hafukim atarta lovely. Or is it that, no, I really do have a Shibud on Noach, but it's through Yaakov? Or isn't that what most Echonim do? Or like the Tzol says, no, I actually become like the primary Balchov of Yaakov and of Noach, and Yaakov disappears entirely. That's a very strong formulation. Now, let's go back to our sugya. Our sugya is really the most challenging nafkamina of all of these, because basically, let's look at our sugya and let's sort of call that a nafkamina, right? For the sake of argument, right? Or let's make some more room. Just making some room here. I'm not retracting. Right? How about our sugya? Meaning, what if B dies? What if he dies? Then, and what do you mean B dies? B dies, and his Yisomim collect from A. So, should I don't want to use Yaakov here, right? Let's say this middle guy, we'll call him B, call him Bakov, right? So, Bakov dies, and his kids collect from Noach, right? So can I go take that property from them? Bakov dies and his kids collect from Noach. So what would you think? According to the Rashba, that I don't really have a Shibud on the Shibud, it's just a way of streamlining the collection. What would you think at this point?
No,
I shouldn't collect anything because right now I have nothing on Bakov's kids, right? Because they didn't inherit any land. So you should say, right? No.
So what did they collect?
Regardless, doesn't matter what they collected. Even if they collected land, even if they collected karka, they only got that karka. They got that karka now, but now I can't collect the karka from them. They collected this karka now. Now it's karka that they collected. Basically, the Rashba's pshat doesn't really seem to fit with our sugya, because if I don't really have a shibud going back, what does our Gemara say? All the way back, I always had a shibud on Noah. And the Rashba's sort of saying, no, I didn't really always have a shibud on Noah. And that's why in the note that the Rashba, or some people say it's one of his Talmidim, added, right? That's what he says. That, it's Sarach Iyon, the Gemara in Kol Shah. Sarach Iyon, the Gemara in Kol Shah, and another Gemara? And then he answers the Ksubas, and he answers up the Gemara in Ksubas. He never actually explains the Gemara in Kol Shah. It's actually very difficult. If you think I never really had a Shibud, it's just a Hukim Etar Talamali, then it's a little hard to understand how our Sugya works. Why are the Yisomu Mugavu Karka will have to use it, the Baal Chodim Gov Mehem. What do you mean? I never had a Shibud on anything. If Bakov's kids collected from Noah, that's a new thing they collected. Why should I have any Shibud on it? So, this is our sugya. The Rashba himself says there, right? Rashba leads our sugya. It's our Ion. The Rashba's shot is going to be a little difficult. I mean, very difficult. I tried to look. I read a few times, trying to look for an answer there. And he never got to it. He says, Mute, Sarach Ion, this Gemara. So that's going to be, if you take this radical approach, it doesn't even mean a Shiva. It seems to be against our Gemara. The Gemara says, you were always Bishavad. Right? So that's going to be a little radical. And the whole, this later note added to the Rashba, where he really said, I don't mean Shibud. I mean a Fichum Atar Talon, I mean something different from Shibud. I mean something less than a Shibud. And he said, Sarki, and the Gemara called Shah, and he never answers it. Maybe that's just not the correct option.
Right. One thing to say, Sarki, not like the Machaber, he hasn't finished the Sogya, but if you're giving him Shah the Sogya, and saying Sarki and the Sogya.
Yeah, I know. This is the. Not what I'm supposed to do, right? I'm supposed to try to defend all the different possibilities, right? And so they're all right in the sugya. They're actually very difficult in the sugya. I'm sometimes even skeptical. Well, okay. Who fits our sugya very, very, very nicely? who fits our sugya very nicely, which, right, which he basically says there, right? Then, this makes a lot of sense. If it's a shibud on a shibud, well, so I have a shibud on something that Bako owns, and he dies. Can I still collect it? Well, what does that depend on? Everyone knows. If I have a shibud on something he owns, I can collect it after he dies if it's karka and not if it's tafelin. That's what our sugya says. If it's karka, I can collect it. If it's tafelin, no. That you would think that. Meaning, I have a shibud on something you have. So it depends whether it's karka or metalphalin. So you'd say karka, yes. Metalphalin, no. And fits perfectly in our sugya. How about if you take the tzotzis approach, right? That really Noach owed me all along. And Bakov was out of the picture. What's that when Bakov dies? You would think.
He cares if he's right. He was dead to me anyway.
Yes, you would think, exactly. Yes, regardless. Right? And that, then our sugya is difficult. But here, you're not just leaving it as, right, I mean, the tzotzis isn't stupid. Right? The Rashi is also not stupid. He said himself that he loses the tzarchia. But the Ktos, right, he's a little more timid. He's not going to leave our sugya with tzarchia. So, the Ktos will say, Taka, there's a kasha on our sugya. That's the kasha of? Which is the kasha of whom? He says, that's Taka Tosa's kasha. Right? And both of our Shun Ktos agree in Tosa's kasha. I think everyone agrees what Tosfos Kasha is, I think. Right? And this is Tosfos's question. Taka, it is a question in our sugya. I should be able to collect Hakka or Natalpun because I had a direct link to this guy the whole time. What do you mean Tosfos Yasmi? What Yasmi? What Bako? Noach owes me money. What do these Yisomim have to do with anything? And the Achronim seem to agree that this is Tosis Kasha, right? It's allowed to be Kasha on Sugya. That's Tosis Kasha. What does Tosis ask? V'yim Tomagam Metalfel Nami Nema Hachi. Right? What is Metalfel Nami? By Metalfel also. Just say there's always a Shiva to me. What do you mean by Metalfel say there's always a Shiva for me? Whoever heard of like a Shiva on Metalfel? The answer is no. By Metalfel also say, that's Masha and Tosis both agree, by Metalfel also say, Noach always owed me. What is this? What did the Yisom have anything to do with anything? As Parva said, he was already dead to me. So that's Takatos' question. Now we just have to figure out what's the answer, right? So now what's the answer? And here is where the Marsha and Ketos differ, I think, somewhat significantly. What's the difference in the Marsha and Ketos' version of Ketos' answer? Right? Exactly. The Tosos says that really we're keeping this radical approach that it really means cut out the middleman. Oh, it's a kasha on our sugya. Right? Says that's fine. That's Tosos kasha on our sugya. And if Tosos can answer it, answer is good enough for Tosos. It's good enough for us. And what is Tosos's answer? So what's the answer? What's the answer? So the so says, the answer is saying, no, I have a direct link to Noach. The Bako's out of the picture. So then why can't I collect Metalphalin? So what is Tosa saying? According to the Tos, right? He says, Shibudu Dom Nasan only applies the karka, not the metalphalin. Right? He says, karka I have this direct connection with. Metalphalin I don't. And this becomes a very, very... This tzos is not so pashut. What does it so say? He says that the Rav Nasan only applies to shibud karkaos, not shibud metalphalin. That's how he reads the answer of Tosfos. Yeah, only shibud karkos, not shibud metalphalin. Okay, this this gets, first of all, it becomes a very tricky gedder. Like, if I am really, Torah was gozer, that I'm really the mouth of Noach, like, why, then why are we going to split the Sheba Garkos and the Sheba Matazalim? Right, either I'm the mouth of Noach or I'm not. Here's the thing, no, no, Mitzad, the Sheba Karkos, I own it directly and there's no middleman anymore. Mitzad, the Sheba Karkos, I own it directly and there's no middleman anymore. Mitzad, the Sheba Karkos, Mitzad, the Sheba Matazalim, and not.
Is it like Tosa really built off Rabbeinu David? Because Rabbeinu David's Sfarah, then we can say that we can cut the middleman. Without Rabbeinu David, you can't.
You could say that really, yeah, in economy we cut out the middleman, but we only cut out the middleman. When I have a real shibud on a shibud, and then that cuts out the middleman. And you say, like, so since really it starts out that I have a shibud on his shibud. But Lemaisa, when it comes to Karkos, that's so strong that it cuts out the middleman. So when it comes to the Shibud Karka, I have a direct Shibud on Noach. I don't have to go through anyone. And that's why, if the Yisum were to go with Karka, I'm like, who are you to be go with the Karka? It's a Hambo is supposed to be go with the Karka. I don't even have to, like, say you owe it to me because your father's dead. I just say, who are you? What do you have to do with this Karka? You're a stranger. But when it comes to Shibud Metalpilin, there... You know, there I, you know, I, look, obviously I could, you know, tell Yaakov to go out and collect from him, or if Baco was still alive, but then I don't have a direct link to Noah, and he says to split it like that, which is possible. Daniel says, if really it started out that I just had a Shibud on a Shibud, but in Karkos, the Shibud is so strong that I end up with a direct Shibud. Okay, this, one of the things that she has to explain, which actually... Maybe there are different ways to do this. So then why, when Baka was alive, can I collect Metalfa from Noah? Right? Everyone knows the classic case of Rami Nassan. Right? Let's see in the Zelda Nosan means we take Mammon from Noah and give it to me. So if Shibud Rami Nassan is only on Karka, then if it's only on Karka, then even when Baka was alive, why do I have the right to take the Talpa from Noah? I think everyone agrees I have the right to take cash from Noah. What? It's Pasha that I can collect cash from Noah. Everyone knows that. Maisim Chol Yom. It's Pasha that I can collect cash from Noah.
He can't say Noah.
Yeah. Because it's an interesting question, but all of you show them assume it. You might have said it, Nechami, I can't.
The other person who said it is Marashah, no?
No, the Tos also admits it. In Pevav's cut and hay. In Pevav's cut and hay, he admits that, you know, when Baco's alive, I collect the Talflin. So, then, you know, I guess maybe, I don't know. I don't think that's what he meant, but maybe you could say, yeah, that's not through Shibud Rav Nassan. That's not through Shibud Rav Nassan. That's just me Svara that I can collect through Baco when Baco's alive. No, that's not Shibud Rav Nassan. And Echanami, when Baco's alive, so of course I can collect from him, and since he's going to collect from him, so I can just go through him. But I can say, oh, you don't have any money, so I'll use your right to collect from Noah. But, you know, if I want that direct link, that's the real Chiddush Shibud Rav Nassan, I have to look at the socio, but he deals with it in the simplest way. Then that only applies to Karka. It's a big Chiddush to restrict Shibud Rav Nassan to Karka. And that's how we read Tosos. What's Tosos saying? Only in Karka, Yaakov's Shibud on Noach is so strong that I can have a Shibud on that and swallow the whole thing up. Not a Talpilin, not. So the Tosos actually manages to like defend our Sugya. Even, why is it in the Karka and Talpilin? Shibud on Noach is so strong and direct? Because it is so strong and direct, but it's only on Karka, which is a very, very big finish. But that's... But that's what he says.
Why does Shimon have to give you southern land only in order to collect it back? Shimon owes Shimon land, you should just keep it. Like, why does he have to say Shimon owes Shimon land?
So the Ketzos says, Shimon doesn't have to mamish give the Ketzos says the Furish. He doesn't have to mamish give the Soman land and then take it back. He just has to not give them money. Because once he gives them money, then he's messed himself up. All he has to do is, he doesn't have to mamish give them land. He just has to say, look, if I was giving you, I would give you land. Let's look at it, land and zehu. So that's what it says. He doesn't mamish have to give them the land. He just has to taina that he wants it to be land. And basically, he has to just not give them money. Which is, you know, even though we're rubbing the lashon of he gives them land, I don't think it's dachuk stay. That means he says that what he would give is land. And that's what Xos says before us, that he doesn't actually have to give them the land.
In terms of when he is alive, then the shop will say that it is he or she would do something.
Correct. So Xos actually is a little more complicated. I was trying to make it very, very simple. The Xos and Tevel Sukhanhei is said that it is Shibud Rav Nassim even when he's alive, and then he. Right, the Xos actually, no. I mean, yes, but no. The Xos actually makes it very complex. Okay, it'll force me to deal with the Xos himself. You can ask on Xos, right, why can. Now, Grun will say he can't. But why can C collect Ma'os from A when B is alive? So, what I want to say is maybe that's Misvara, not Midi Rabbi Nassan. That's not Rabbi Nassan, that's just the Svara. That I might as well just go through and collect whatever rights you have. The Sos himself, Brun says, maybe he can't. Maybe the whole bunch. Although, that's going to be very hard. Why? Because according to you, the Nasan Lasher Asham Lo is only referring to. It's going to be hard the way we paskin. Because if Nasan Lasher Asham Lo is only referring to Karka, that means it was a Shiva Karkos. And if it was a Shiva Karkos, then half of you have to bring a Ashem Zelos, half of you have to bring a Dinoshua Satikadna Shiva Karkos, according to remember the Kaim we mentioned. But you can say maybe Rinasan doesn't hold that way. Alright, it's going to be a little dachuk, but, you know, we'll put it in brackets. The Ktsos himself makes it very complicated. In Pei Vav, Hey, I'm not sure why he has to make it so complicated. Maybe someone's smart enough to figure out. He says there's a third thing besides Shiva to go from Shiva Metalpha and Shiva Karkos, which is right. There's a Rabbeinu Tam that's famously quoted in, by a number of Rishonim who said there's two Shibudim when it comes to loans: Shiva to Guf, that the guy's the personal you pay me, and Shiva Nechasim, that I can collect his property. Within Shiva Nechasim, there's Metalpha and Karka. There's some question as to what extent there's a Shiva Metalpha. But let's assume that Shiva Metalpha and Shiva Karka. But there's also a third thing called the Shibud Aguf. That's Rabbeinu Tam's tish. There's a Shibud Aguf and Shibud Nechasim, two different things. So the Ktsos says that while B is alive, C collects not through Shibud Metalpalin. No. Of course he has no Shibud Metalpalin. While Bach was alive, I can take, you know, I can actually take, gold coins. I can take dinarim from Noah. Not saying Shiva Nechasim Metalpalin. Shiva Nechasim doesn't apply to Metalpalin. Not through Shiva Nechasim, but through Shiva Haguf. That while the middle guy's alive, I cannot collect Noah's dinarim because of Shiva Metalpalin. I actually have no right to Noah's dinarim. However, I have the right to Noah's cooperation. And he'll express that cooperation by giving me, dinarim. Now, Rabbeinu Zalman might answer that if he has karka, even if he's given me dinarim, that's part of Shiva karka. Although he's somebody stuck with no, didn't have karka. That I'm not collecting through Shiva and Tafla, but through Shiva and Guf. But if so doesn't, the loose end doesn't tie up then is if Shiva and Guf applies to Shiva and Guf, why doesn't that remain after he dies? Like, why does the Shiva Karka part remain after B dies, but the Shiva Guf part not remain after B dies? And he has to say that no, Shiva Nasa works on two levels. Shivan Palpon doesn't apply to it at all. Shivan Karkos, it applies absolutely and makes me directly related to Noach with no one in between. But Shivan Aguf, because it's more personal, I still need like someone in between. Which then makes it very dark, because it's like many different levels of Shibud or Nasan. But that's the Sosa of having to say, and he makes it much more complicated by introducing a third element.
Yes.
Right, Dani, that's what Sosa really says?
Yeah, but I mean,
even
with the Shibud
Gimshot,
he's assuming that it's through
Shibud or Nasan.
Correct,
through Shibud or Nasan.
Yeah, it could be that he's reading double Shibud Rav Nosson from Shibud Aguf, and his Shibud Rav Nosson first Shibud Karkos, which then makes it very complicated. Mehek, he takes a Tzvei Dini Shibud Rav Nosson, less than Neil is saying, no, maybe Mismara, like the Shibud Karkos, can easily collapse because it's just an objective piece of land. So in the end, he might have to say Tzvei Dini. I won't say he's only one Dini Shibud Rav Nosson, although I admit I'm not speaking for the Ksos personally. And while he's alive, that's Mismara, which he himself admitted you can do Mismara, but he himself says, no, sounds like it's part of, seems pretty clear that there's two levels of Shibud Rav Nosson. Okay, that was how he deals with this side point. However, what did Marsha do with Tosos? Right? No one's really sure, right? But the Marsha says, one thing is very clear. The Marsha says the Ktos is only the Havmin of Tosos. Really, not many people agree with the Ktos. Not many people agree with the Ktos. As a matter of fact, what? That's true. Perhaps. But not many people agree with the Ktos Lamaisa. But the Marasha says that Tosis, look at his Lashon, is very, very clear up to a certain point. Mira the first brain, the Hakashi Luhu. Came the Bahta Vunu Mishubale Kamavum Shukai and came Lavin Havli Yafin Shari Bahta Vunu Chai Kvar Mishubale the Shalom off the Talpun like Kamavuni Lokai Dain Shame of Kubi Lashalom off the Talpun. Right? He says, what do you mean? Noach was already Chai to me. You know, that's also his question. Noach was Chai to me. What do you mean anyone in the middle? Well, what's the answer? Bahat Tirits read the Vade Ainlam Jordan Nasaki Lubaka Vuna Yachai of Low. Don't say, it says, if Noach owed me. Right? That's the Havamina and Echonami is the Ksos. He admits the Havamina Tosos is the Ksos. But he thinks Davka, the answer to the Ksos is don't say that it's as if Noach owed me. No. Which is basically the same thing as Rina David. He says that, the Kamash one of this to explain the Sugya is that don't think that it's as if it's just a Shiva to me and it's not the moment of the middle guy. So what does he explain? Ain't Lam alone where Midrab Nasan against Ilbalfu Vuna Chayav Lo. El the Chasvina Karkam Shubalavuan Kilo Ebiyado, etc. The Lachem Shubalam Nami Labachov Davuhon. No, it's not that Noach owed me. It's just that your Shibud on Noach is so strong that it can be Meshubad to me. That's all it means. It doesn't mean that it's as if Noach owed me. It just means that your Shibud on Noach's land is, Is Meshubad to me. That's all it means. So, the Marasha says that the Kamashvalon of Tosos, is that this works through my having Shibud and your Shibud. And therefore, there's a difference. When it comes to Karaka, then your Shibud is so strong that I can have a Shibud on that. But when it comes to Metaltalin, then your Shibud is weaker, so I cannot have a Shibud on it. That's what he says. Marasha says that really that, right, C has Shibud on B's Shibud Karka, which is a very strong, which is ki'ilua, like something you really own, because Shibud Karka is a very serious thing you own, but not on Shibud Metaltalin, because Shibud Metaltalin is very, very weak, because, you know, you can collect the Metaltalin from him, but not if he sells them. So, but not on B's Shibud Metaltalin. So I think what the Marsha is saying is that Tosfos Hamina might have been like the Tosfos, we skipped the middle man, but Kamashvala not, right? Kamashvala not, I just, you know, if I want to have a Shibud on your Shibud, so if your Shibud is a serious thing, I can have a Shibud on it, like Shibud Karka. If your Shibud is not such a serious rite, like a Shibud Metalplin, then I can't have a, I can't have a Shibud on that. So we're going to Marsha, I think Tosfos is basically similar to Rabbeinu David, in that he's looking at my ability to be Meshavi through Yaakov. The only difference is how they explain the difference in Karka Metalplin. Rabbeinu David explained the difference in Karka Metalplin in terms of whether Karka Yisomim versus Metalplin Yisomim. And Tosfos explains the difference in Karka Metalplin in terms of really being able to be Mishabi that Shibud, something strong enough that I can have the Shibud on it, versus something so weak that I can't put a Shibud on it. But you know, they're within the same basic perspective, and I think that's what the Marsha is trying to say. That's definitely how he's understood, and all the later Achronim agree with this middle approach. Pretty much every, you know, all the sort of modern-day Achronim all reject the Tosfos. They think that's a little too radical, and they all take this. They all take this middle approach. And they all assume that the sort of majority psak of the Rishonim is that they take the middle approach, that of course if Yaakov wants to pay me cash, I can't go to Noach. I'm only going through him. And not only that, I can't go to Noach if Yaakov has any property. I can only go to Noach for the Eved if Yaakov can't pay me himself. But I can't go to Noach right away. Why? You know, I can't follow this like Shibud of a Shibud unless he doesn't have any regular property give me. And they all assume, all the Achronim assume, unlike the Tosfos, that it's only a chiyuv of garmi if Noach messes me up by giving Yaakov the money and he disappears. But really, that was perfectly okay. It's just a chiyuv of garmi. The one nachmina, interestingly, that the Shulchan Aruch Pasyans, that seems to sound very, very much like the Tosfos is Mechila. Most Achronim Paskin like the Raivan on this, that you can't be Mochel. There is a long Shach who says, Ein Shemin Yochel Limchol L'chor Tema Amah Paskin L'chabru Pshitas Kedivri HaTorah Shari Harbe Cholken. Right, maybe because Yosef didn't bring a lot of cholkin. Well, there's harbe cholkin. Alohema, Rush, Vatosham, Shnei Kama, Feinir the Balamor and the Ramban over there, not here, but in Ksubas and the Bala Trumos from the Trumos Ramban, and then he quotes the Lashon, etc. So the Shach does sort of want to get things more in a mainstream line and say, ah, who says you really? You're so sure, Mr. Mechaber, you're so sure that Mechila doesn't work. Not so pashut. So the Shach really questions this psak and says, what do you mean? We have lots of Rishonim who say that Mechila does work, right? This is the, you know, it's not just the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah plus Shem Harbe Rishonim. But Lemaisa, even if you assume that it's really just not as radical as Lictos, I'm going through the middle now. Could it still be that Mechila wouldn't work? Could you still justify this Raivan? Maybe not like quite the most radical form. So, I think in a lot of Achronim write that you can still justify the Raivan. It could be that maybe that Nafmina wasn't so pashut, that even if Yaakov didn't disappear, he might still not have the right to be Mochel for one of two reasons. This might depend what Mechila is. Right? So how does Mechila work is not 100% clear. But if Mechila is like Piron, right, then, you know, if he says, look, I've been paid back, then look, he has the right to get paid back, right? He can collect money from Noah, so he should have the right to do that. Even if Mechila is more like a Siluk, then he should have the right to do that. He can say, I'm making it disappear. But, however, if Mechila is more like a Matana, is what mechila really means. He says, I'm giving you the loan. Then it could be that he has no right to make a matana here. Why? Because once there's a shibud, even if you give something to the matana, I can still collect my shibud. So you could say that really I'm only going through my shibud and Yaakov. So why can't he be mokel? Because if mechila is more like a matana, then if someone gives something, the chasm shibud is matana, I can collect it anyway, if I have nothing else to collect from. So that could be one explanation. Or the stipler here says that he thinks that mechila doesn't really erase a chov. He thinks there's no such thing as a mechila that erases a chov. Mechila, he thinks, just, and this is the bit of a chiddush, says mechila is really just taking away the zechus gevuya. Mechila is not erasing a chov. Mechila is just giving up the right to collect it. Giving up the right to collect the chov. So it's not erasing the actual chov. It's just the mokel, the enforcement of the chov. And therefore he says, hold on a second. On the practical level, C is going to enforce the chov. So B has no right to give that up, because even though the chov is his, but lemaisa, the right to enforce that chov already belongs partially to someone else. So those are two ways you could explain, depending on how you view mechila, which is a very, very big topic, how it could be that even if you take the mainstream approach, still perhaps mechila wouldn't work, and you'd still justify the psak of the Raivan and the Machaber, even if you're not like Diktos. You could either say mechila is like a matana, and matana doesn't take away, it doesn't get you out of shibud, right? Nechasim mishubadim, even after you give them as a matana, can still be collected. Or you could say that mechila is not, doesn't erase the chov. It just erases the right to collect. And clearly, C has a right to collect, even if the chov is not his. Lemaisa, he has a right to collect this chov, because he is a shibud on the shibud, and therefore B has no right to be mochel. That's how the Rav also explained in the Hari Kedem here. It says, the Nasam Asher Asham Lo, the Ketos brought a proof. I'll prove to you there's no middleman. Why? Because the Nasam Asher Asham Lo is referring to the Chiyav of Asham Zelos, of Shuas HaPikadon. Says Noach pays me, and he owes the Shuas HaPikadon for what he has to pay me. That proves on the direct Malveh. So it says, no, that just proves that Shuas HaPikadon doesn't depend on who you actually owe. It depends on who you practically were supposed to pay. And you can say the same, that's basically what the Rav says. He says, don't think that the Asham Zelos is from A to C, that proves the Chol is from A to C. Just means that the Asham depends on what you were practically supposed to pay. That's the same thing the Stipler here says about Mechila. Don't think that just because the middle guy can't be Mokel, that proves the Chol is from A to C. No, it's because Mechila doesn't erase the Chol. Mechila just lets go of the right to practically collect it. And practically, he has the right to collect from A. So that's some ways that you could, especially if you want to be Miyashiv the Mechaber, along and the many Rishonim, Shach has another list, but at least most people think most Rishonim hold you can be mocha, like the right against the Ra'ah, according to the mainstream approach, without going as far as Mitzos, then you could say either Mechila is like Matana, which is a Chiddush, or Mechila doesn't affect the Chov, it just affects the practical Gviya, in which case the B has no right to be mocha, because practically he's not the only one who can be gova. Okay, that's a little bit of Shibud Rav Nassim. I mean, there's a lot more Nixosas and Shachs and Rishonim, but yeah, I think it's, you know, all along these general lines. Next Monday, today's Thursday? Yeah. Next Monday, I want to talk about Mashkon. Mashkon is a very, very big Shachsogya, even bigger than Shibud Rav Nassim. But definitely start... I guess for the rest of the day we have here, and then I'll give up the course on Sunday. With the Tosfim here, Rashi and Tosfim here is crucially important. You might have already had a chance to notice. And the Balamor and the Ramban here have a very crucial discussion. And you should try to, if you have time to look up at least the Kiyas, the different sugyas, and see how Rabbi Yitzchak is used, and probably the Tosfos and Kiddushin, but that's enough to start with. What? Okay. How long do we want for Chazara? We are having a Bechina. Those who have two Bechinas of mine on the same day should talk to me if they want to work on scheduling. But how long do we want for Chazara?
How much time is left in Islam? 3 weeks?
3 weeks. So the choice is a week and a half or 2 weeks. Meaning it's a smaller Chazara than the last time because I think the Bechina was not evenly in the middle. When was the Bechina?
Not close.
What?
It was like,
it wasn't
close to the middle.
It was
right.
Time.
I
can't remember.
Who remembers? Okay. Anyway, so.
Well, last time with the 2 weeks, we
really
needed like 4 weeks.
Alright, so let's say the we'll leave the last 2 weeks for Chazara. So we'll only have two more shiur, Monday and Thursday. What? So in Monday and Thursday, we will finish Balchov Konamashkon, and hopefully we'll have time on Thursday. Maybe we'll have to go a little longer. We'll have briefly mention the last bit about Chanashel Yisrael and the Lai Shel Yisrael, just with Kias. And it would be nice if we had time to talk about Chamesh and Aparol of Mapoles, that little bit of Gemara, but we will not get to Ochel Shumas Chamesh for Pesach. Sadly enough, but okay, we have the rest of our life. So.